good to be with you this evening. Appreciate everyone's presence. Thankful for the presence of our visitors. And especially tonight will be a little bit different than our usual lesson. Very recently, as most of you know, the church here helped me to go to Sierra Leone to preach the gospel. And as we read just a moment ago in Acts chapter 14, when Paul returned to the church at Antioch, at Syrian Antioch, that had sent him out, it says when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And I want to emphasize that point that any good thing that happened as a result of God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 5, "What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth." And so any good thing that came out of this was the work of God. I'd also be amiss if I did not express tremendous appreciation. You all had a huge part in this work. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 3. He said, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now." And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, he said, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that in the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the manner of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." And so, thank you for providing for me and providing support to some of the men that went with me on this trip and making this work possible. You had a great part in it, in your support, in your prayers, in the encouragement that you gave to me and to my family while I was gone. I thank you for your share in the work of the gospel. We were in Sierra Leone. It's over here on kind of the bottom of the hump of West Africa. Most of you know that from the several reports you've heard from Dan and I. Sierra Leone has never been in a good situation, at least not any time in our lifetime. There was a civil war there from about 1991 to 2001 or 2002, which devastated the country and devastated the economy. Their largest export in terms of gross domestic product is iron. The iron market recently tanked, and so they suffered that setback. And then shortly after the iron market tanked, they had the Ebola crisis, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, and that made things even worse. When we first started going in 2010, the exchange rate was 4,200 to 1, which sounds bad unless the exchange rate goes to 7,200 to 1, which is where it is now. And so you think about taking a 45% cut in pay, or showing up at the grocery store one day and everything, if they went to grocery stores, they don't, everything is 40 to 45% more expensive than it was. That's what's happened. In 2015, the rate of inflation was 10%. And in 2016, it was 17%. And so that's just the last couple of years. And so things are bad. They were 22nd from the bottom just a few years ago. Now they're eighth from the bottom, one of the 10 poorest countries in the world. I don't say that so you'll feel sorry for them, but understand it's a very different world there. The average person doesn't have running water. They go to a well with a bucket. They don't have electricity. They don't have a vehicle. They don't have many, many, many of the things that we take for granted. That has its challenges. But there are some positives to that as well, as we will see. I want to say a little bit about the guys that I went with. Most of you know Tristan and Chase really well. And again, you all had a big part in this trip, in all the encouragement that you have given to Tristan and Chase over the years. These guys did some great work. Many of you may not know Greg. Greg preaches at the Oldham Woods congregation in LaGrange, Kentucky. And Greg lived in Brazil for a number of years and has done overseas work before. He hadn't been to Africa before, but Greg was fantastic to work with. And his attitude was a tremendous encouragement to all of us, because Greg really struggled on the trip with a thorn in the flesh. Greg is completely deaf in his left ear, and the hearing in his right ear is compromised. And I would solicit your prayers on his behalf, because there's a chance that he'll lose his hearing completely. It's a result of a virus that has attacked the nerve in his ear, and it's recently gotten worse. But he has a hearing aid, and he does really well with his hearing aid. And that was great for about 4 days, and then it quit. And so he can hear if he has a really loud American with him. That usually meant Chase or I. But the young men that we worked with in Sierra Leone are fairly soft-spoken. Tristan is soft-spoken, except when he's preaching. And so Greg really struggled. It's isolating when you can't hear and when you can't talk to people. And I know it was really difficult, but he did great work. He pressed on. He had a fantastic attitude. He did not complain. Don't ever tell him I said any of those things about him. But he was just a tremendous, tremendous encouragement to work with. Tristan also, I'm going to say more about Tristan later on in the lesson and some of the things that he did. But he was a joy to work with. He's a tremendous blessing. Nothing rattles Tristan. He just goes on. He does the work no matter what. Chase, too. Chase had never been on an airplane. He'd never been out of the country. He just, you know, decided he'd have his first swimming lesson in the deep end of the pool. And he dove right in. He got ribbed more than anybody else because he was the youngest guy. We asked him about 3 or 4 days into you, any culture shock? He said, no, not really. Kind of what I expected is what my grandfather told me. And of course, we told him it's because he didn't have any culture to shock. But Chase did fantastic work. Again, unfazed. He just got out there. He taught. He worked hard and dove in. Just could not have asked for better guys to work with. The best guys I've worked with since Adam. And so, really a blessing to share in this work with them. And I'm thankful for them and for their love for the Lord and for their love for the lost. So, we started out in Bow. Dan has worked in Freetown, over here on the left of the map, and up in McKinney. We were working in and around Bow for part of the trip. Bow is the second largest city in Sierra Leone, a city of about 250,000 people. And we started out there. This is Muhammad Massakoi. Muhammad has been a Christian in Bow since about 2012. He started doing some teaching and preaching probably within a year of being converted. And he has been working and devoting himself to that work ever since then. Until recently, he had help. Abraham Charles was living in Bow, and they were working together. But Abraham has moved to another city. There wasn't any problem, but Abraham wanted to go back to the village where he was from and do some work there. And there was a church established, and now there are 25 new Christians there. And so he feels obligated to stay there and to work with the church for the time being. And so Muhammad is in Bow working with the church there. And this is a picture of where the church in Bow is meeting right now. I want to tell you just a little bit about what this church has been through, what they're struggling with. This meeting place is beside somebody's house. Okay? And so there's a wall on one side and there's an edge of a roof on the other, but there's nothing. They're not inside. And so, after about 11:30, if services are still going, the sun's beating down on your head, or soon the rainy season, the rain will be beating down on their head. Now, let me tell you what this church has been through. The church started to meet about 2012. There was someone in the church who wanted to have the preeminence, a Diotrephes, who caused a lot of problems and ended up putting out Muhammad and Abraham, and another brother went with them, Frank Reffel, and they just kept on working. They just kept on preaching. And in the course of time, this man's attitude and some of his doctrinal issues became evident to the rest of the church, and the rest of them came over. And so they went through division, and they struggled to find a place to meet. And for a little while, they were renting a building. But then the landlord found out there were some Americans involved, and he cranked the rent way, way up. And so they couldn't afford that anymore. And so for a little while, they met in a house, and then they don't have that anymore. And so now they're meeting outside. They've lost their meeting place, and some people have strayed away, and so they've had that added discouragement. But they're pressing on, and they're still going. And I think about what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica when he wrote to them, and he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father." And he talks about the fact in chapter 2 and verse 14 that they had endured the same sufferings at the hands of their own countrymen as the church in Jerusalem had from the Jews. And they kept going. And these brethren have kept going. And they're struggling. The church there is struggling. They're not sure what they're going to do when the rainy season comes. It's a tough situation. And there aren't easy answers. But they are pressing on, and Muhammad, as he works with them, is pressing on. And so pray for them and remember them, because they are a tremendous, tremendous encouragement to everyone who has worked with them in their perseverance in very difficult circumstances. We had a ton of opportunities in and around Bow. I just want to touch on a few of those. This man on the left, his name, on the left, his name is Ishmael. And Muhammad took us to Ishmael, and he said, Ishmael is on the fence. He's trying to decide whether he wants to be a Muslim or a Christian. And he's weighing the two. And we went and we studied with him. And we went through the first part of the Gospel of Mark with him. I know that a number of you are using Mark to teach people. And that's what we did. We sat down and we went through Mark with Ishmael. He's a very eager student. And we talked about who Jesus was and how great Jesus was. That Jesus was so great that John the Baptist, the prophet of God, was not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. That Jesus was so great that he cast out the demons with a word. Jesus was so great that he healed the sick. That Jesus was so great that he cleansed the unclean. And that's chapter 1. And then the first part of chapter 2, 1 through 12, Jesus is so great that he has the authority to forgive sins. And we got to the end of that lesson, and Ishmael said, I want to follow Jesus. Now, it took a little longer to close the deal, but a couple days later, he was baptized into Jesus Christ. He obeyed the gospel and just made a really strong impression on all of us. All of us at one time or another studied with Ishmael. The other thing that you see going on here in this next picture, this is actually, both of these pictures were at the hotel. And we just had, God really opened some doors at the hotel. We had phenomenal studies. We originally scheduled some studies with some Christians we thought were going to come, and I think there had been a lot of groups there before us, and they're kind of tired and worn out, but the hotel staff just came in droves to sit down and study with us. And the young man here in the middle in the uniform, Abadar, was one of the security guards at the hotel, and in the course of Greg and Chase studying with Abadar, he was baptized into Jesus Christ as well. And there's a young lady over here. She's really hard to see. You just kind of see the corner of her red blouse there. Her name is Mabel. And they were studying with Mabel one day. And she grabbed a bottle of water. And she said, are you going to baptize me or what? So they explained some more things about baptism. They spent some more time talking about that. And Mabel, too, was baptized into Jesus Christ. But there was just a hunger there. There was one situation. Tristan and I were elsewhere when this happened. But Greg and Chase were with a bunch of people at the hotel. And the gates swing open, and this big caravan of cars comes in. And the hotel staff starts getting real antsy. And Greg knows that somebody important has showed up. It was some music/movie star from Sierra Leone who lives in America. And he had come for Independence Day, and he was staying at the hotel. And so Greg finally said, just go. And so everybody took off to go see this pop star, except one lady. And she didn't budge. She didn't flinch. I'm pretty sure I know who it was. She just sat there and just kept asking Bible questions. And she would ask Bible questions. And this was fairly typical. Sit down and study. They'd ask questions. They asked questions for about an hour and 15 minutes. And they say, okay. At the end of it, about an hour and 15 minutes, they say, okay, we are ready to study now. Just a hunger for God's Word. And so, again, just tremendous, tremendous opportunities there in Bo. This is the church in Cocofalay. Cocofalay is about 3 or 4 miles outside of, it's a village about 3 or 4 miles outside of Bo. The church there is small. It has struggled. There is a man from Liberia who plans to come and work with the Christians there, and we're hoping that is going to happen. But this is the first Sunday when we're there, and there was a young man there who's visiting. He's obviously very interested, very motivated. He's asking a ton of questions. And during Chase's Bible class, he's asking about baptism and wanting to know about what he needs to do to be saved, and dealt some more with that in the lesson. And we sat down and we talked with Idrissa afterwards. That's him in the middle there. And he said, well, I want to be baptized. And so he went around and got some clothes and said, well, where are we going to do this? And he says, well, the water is about a mile. Just as a rule of thumb, if somebody in the country tells you it's about a mile, never listen. It's the same the world over. Okay, so we walked a mile, and then 2 miles, and somewhere in that second mile, we came to some water. It was not good, not a good place, and we came to another place, and it was not a good place. About 2.5 miles in, and it's dark, we got to the Sewa River, and you know, some of the guys are starting to worry, you know, is he going to follow through? Is he going to think this is too much trouble? As he's walking up to the river, he said, almost under his breath, in an introspective moment, he said, I want to be free. I want to be free. And I don't think he thought anybody hurt him. But Muhammad baptized Idrissa into Jesus Christ. And we gathered around and we prayed and we praised God. And we rejoiced in his freedom. And remembered our own. That through Jesus Christ, we are free. And so there's a little church out there in Coco Filet. They're struggling. It's very difficult for Muhammad to get out there and do everything he's trying to do in Bo, as well as in other places in the surrounding area. So pray for them. This is out in Torwama, which is about 4 or 5 miles kind of in the opposite direction. Coco Filet is south, and Torwama is sort of north and west of Bo, about 5 miles out. Chase is not trying to drown this person, as it may appear in the picture, but it was very shallow water, and it was difficult to get them all the way under, and so he's kind of helping out here. But Chase and Tristan did a lot of work out in Torwama. Again, there's been kind of a struggling little church out there. They started off, there was a guy there that just seemed like a fantastic fella, and he was really enthusiastic, and then he took all of the church collection and disappeared. And so that was a big discouragement, obviously, and so that kind of struggled out there. But there were 4 young men that Muhammad Jabi, not Muhammad Massaquoi that you saw earlier, but another Muhammad, another member of the church in Bo, had been working with and studying with, and they too were baptized into Jesus Christ. And again, a fledgling church out there just starting, and they need a lot of encouragement. And it's difficult for Muhammad Massaquoi to preach at the church in Bo, and then go to Coco Filet, and then go to Torwama, and cover all that. He had a bicycle. His bicycle's broken, and so it's challenging. It's difficult, but they are pressing on. And so pray for workers. The fields are white for harvest. Pray for workers to join Muhammad. There are some other young men in Bo that are capable of joining in that work. And so again, God gave the increase. In the second week, this is Jalal, okay? And so Bo is about 50 miles south and east, and then Freetown is about 75 miles north and west. And so Jalal is on the way back toward Freetown. Jalal is a village, but it's the village where the second largest university in the country is. And so there's a huge, huge college there, a huge university there in Jalal. And it's I say a village, but the population would be measured in thousands, not hundreds. And so I would suspect less than 10,000, but certainly thousands of people there. And so Tristan and I went to Jalal to work with Abraham Charles. And that's Abraham. He is just doggedly determined. We walked that week more in Jalal than I have in a long, long time, seeking out opportunities to study the Bible. And this is the church in Jalal. There are about 23 Christians there. This church began in December of last year. And so that these are Christians that are months old. He went back there. His mother lives there, and his sister, his grandmother, and they're all part of the church there. But he went back there. It's where he part of where he did his growing up, and he has worked, and the gospel is spreading. And we just had so many opportunities. In Jalal, we would go out. Abraham would say, "Well, let's go out and see if we can find this guy and see if we can study with him." When we go out there, we get there, and the guy, he just left. And one day we'd done that a couple of times, and Abraham said, "Well, you know, we didn't come all the way out here for nothing." So he just walked up to a house, said, We're teaching the gospel, and we'd like to study with you. Absolutely, come on." And there was a Catholic young man who was just intensely interested, and spent some time with us that day. One day we're walking along. We'd been by this coffee shop. I think I mentioned this in another lesson. Again, this is just some sticks and a thatched roof with a fire over on the side where they're cooking the coffee and some food. There's a coffee shop, and there are probably 15 people there. And Abraham walks up and said, "We're teaching the gospel. Can we speak to you a minute?" Not to one guy, not to some guy at a table, the whole coffee shop. And yes, absolutely. And so we got to study with them on that occasion. While we were there in Jalal, while Tristan and I were there in Jalal, it was Independence Day. Yes, Tristan does look like he's doing Tai Chi. He's not. He's preaching Mark chapter 1 in both of these pictures. But it was Independence Day, and so they didn't have classes. And so Abraham took us around to the dorms, and the picture over here on your right was one of the first places we went. We go into this women's dormitory, and it was just a big square courtyard, and there are ladies doing their laundry and people on the balconies. And again, Abraham takes us in there, and he asks if we could preach. Now, there's a backstory to this. There was something we didn't know when we went in there. He had told a friend of his that he was going to try and do this, and he said, "You don't go to those women's dorms alone, because those women are bad. They will grab you." I'm not sure what that means, but he didn't tell us till afterwards. But it was fantastic. The Tristan started teaching, and people started gathering, and we went through Mark 1 again and invited them to come to the studies. And then we went to the next women's dorm, and I taught Mark 1. And then we got to a men's dorm, and it was a totally different situation. It's just this long block building, and again, a bunch of people out on the balcony. And so Tristan just stood out in the field in front of this building, and people came out of their dorm rooms, and he preached the gospel to them. And just a fantastic opportunity. We did that in about 3 hours. We did that five times. We just alternated back and forth. And talked to well over 100 students in I guess, 3 or 4 hours. I don't know exactly how long. And many, many of the students pled with Abraham, come back, do a study on campus. We will come. There are many people here who are interested. Political, there are no safe zones on the campuses there. There is no political correctness, and so we were not encumbered by that sort of nonsense. But again, just fantastic opportunities to preach the gospel. And just like Muhammad, Abraham is, I think, kind of overwhelmed with all of the opportunities that he has. Finally, we did some work in Kenema just a couple of days near the end of the trip, and we went over there and we studied with the Christians there, and I want to talk a little bit about that. But I want you to notice, this is I apologize, the lighting is terrible on this picture, but this gentleman right here is Alderman Welt, and you need to know him because we support him. And Brother Welt lives up in McKinney, which is in the northern part of the country, but he had contacted somebody from Monotown, which is about 23 miles outside of Kenema, and he had come down there and spent some time teaching and preaching down there. And I think maybe, I forget all the numbers, but maybe 20 people in Monotown obeyed the gospel, and then he went around to some other villages in that area. And there were three churches established as a result of that, and some of the brethren in Kenema have helped with that, and Alderman is traveling back there to preach the gospel. But all of these other young men were new converts from these various villages, some of them Muslim background. And again, we went there, Chase and I, the first night. We had this plan to teach, and they just ask question after question after question after question. And it was, the plan was for a couple of hours, and it turned into more like three because they had so many questions, and they just, you know. So we dealt with questions. There were some brethren from Kenema there as well for over an hour. And then I did a lesson. So we'd been there, you know, the allotted time, and we asked them, would you like to hear a word from our brother here? And they said, well, of course. So Chase got up and preached as well. And then the second night, Tristan went back with me. But again, just a ton of new Christians in sort of around Kenema. The churches in Kenema, the two congregations in Kenema have had connections to institutional brethren in the past, but they're coming out of that. And I think recognizing some of those things, and Brother Welt has had an influence on that. This is also where Abraham Charles got his start. He came from Kenema and worked in Bow and now is working in Jalal. And so, again, all kinds of opportunities there, and keep them in your prayers. I want to think about some things. You know, one of the things that we did on the trip is we spent time reflecting on sort of the effect that this had on us. And when you are around people and working with people every day who are grateful for what they have and excited to serve God, and they don't have anything. By our measure, they don't have anything. It makes you think. And I thought a lot of times about this passage in 1 Timothy 6, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. And to my shame, I thought about it a lot of times when I hadn't been content with just food and covering. But there are a lot of people over there. They have covering, but they're struggling for the food. It's common. And I heard Greg say, if I lived in Sierra Leone, I'd really want to go to heaven. And we need to have that same longing right here in Lexington, Kentucky. We must not let comfort destroy us. We must not let the temptation of riches lure us into foolish and harmful desires. And that point is forcefully driven home every time I think you go into a situation like this. And the fact is that the situation in Sierra Leone, it's worse than some places. But most of the people in the world live just like that. Most of the people in the world live in India. And it's, you know, there are prosperous people in India, but it's not the majority. You look at India and most of Africa, and most people don't have what we have. And so we need to be grateful, but we need to be careful too. Another thing that really impressed me, I said I was going to say more about Tristan. David Dieselkamp has done a ton of research on how to teach non-literary cultures. And there's a whole study of that called orality, and there's some good things about orality, and there's some bad things about orality, and there's some ugly things about orality as it's practiced. But Tristan took the good things and used them to good effect. And you see, I don't know if you can see all these objects laid out. He's got six objects, and he's going to lay a seventh out. And he's teaching the seven signs in John. The water turned into wine. And he's working through that in the healing of the nobleman's son and the healing of the man by the pool of Bethsaida. The feeding of the 5,000, and the walking on water, and the healing of the blind man, and he's about to talk about Lazarus, and he would do that, and he'd go after each time, he'd go back through it, and he'd have them, and by the time he was done, they had those memorized, and Tristan worked really hard at finding a way to communicate the gospel in a way that was going to help the people he was communicating with. I think he did a better job of that than any of us. And we all tried to incorporate repetition and biblical narratives because those things connect better in oral cultures. But Tristan just exemplified that. And I thought about 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, and especially the part at the end about teaching in season and out of season with all patience. And he really worked. Not just to go and have a Bible study and go and teach the way would here, but he worked to teach in such a way that the people who were listening would go away with a better understanding of the Bible when they left. What they did with that, that's on them. But he worked to make sure they were getting it, that the message was getting across. And I think we need to think about that here. Because we live in a culture that doesn't know the Bible anymore. Those days when everybody knew about Jesus, those are over. People don't know the Bible, and they don't know our language and our, you know, the language we use amongst ourselves. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not so good. They don't understand that. We need to leave our church speak at home when we're out there. And we need to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ in as plain and clear a way as possible so that people, wherever they're coming from, can understand what God has said in the Scriptures. And Tristan was just really a great example of that. I learned a lot from working with him. This is a typical exchange. Boa, hello. Bubigayo, how are you? Kayangoma, praise God. That is almost the universal response to how are you. We were out in Coco Filet, and Idrisa, the new convert out there, took us to meet his aunt, who is a Muslim. And she had this huge wound on the top of her head that had been packed, and she was really sick. She looked like she could hardly hold her head up, feeling really bad. How are you? Kaya Goma. Praise God. Talk to people who didn't know where their next meal was coming from. How are you? Kaya Goma. Praise God. And again, was confronted forcefully with the reality of how much I have to praise God for. And listening just to the people in everyday conversation as they went about their business. And again, I know you can look at these people and say, well, they are primitive. They're, many of them, uneducated, unsophisticated, illiterate. Let me tell you. They are so far ahead of us, it's not even funny. As a culture. Because they know the fundamental reality is that this world was made by God and that He sustains it and everyone in it. We got all kinds of sophisticated people around us that, as far as that goes, are insane. They think they have pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps and they are the masters of their own destiny. They are mad and they are foolish. And these simple people know and remember things that we in our sophistication have forgotten. And I resolved while I was over there, this wasn't unique to me. We talked about this. I thought, I just need to talk about God more. Just in everyday conversation, I need to talk about God more. Not just in Bible studies. I mean, you know, that's all good. But just in the day-to-day discourse of life. Because the people around us have forgotten God. And somebody needs to remind them. And that's on us. And so those are some reflections on the trip. If you have questions or want to know more about, you know, what a day is like or anything of that sort, please don't hesitate to ask. I could have talked a lot longer, and You'll be glad I didn't. But God is good. God is good. And if we'll be diligent, the same kinds of doors can be opened up right here. And it's not just something that happens a long way away, someplace far off. There are people hungry everywhere. And so, let's remember what we're here for. And take those opportunities. And again, Abraham, one of the things I love about Abraham, he just asked. Could we study with the entire coffee shop? Would it be all right if we had a Bible study with the whole dormitory instead of just one of you? Just ask. It can't hurt to ask. And the amazing thing was, and I know people here say no, but it's hard to find somebody who said no. And we'll find people here that will say yes. Not everybody will say yes. Not everybody there says yes. But people will say yes. But not if we don't ask. Not if we don't ask. And so the fields are white for harvest. And the work in Sierra Leone and the work in India, those are just Bible studies with bad commutes. That's all it is. The work is the same wherever we do it. There are people who need the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe, perhaps you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're not a Christian. Perhaps you have come to the point that Ishmael had come to and you want to follow Jesus. We would encourage you to do that, to believe in Him, repent of your sins, and be baptized. Obey the gospel. If you're a Christian and you need help, you need the encouragement of the saints here, you're struggling with something, there's some way we can help you. Come now as we stand and as we sing.